Hey there, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Coming up next, another sample of one of our podcasts. Yeah, we're more than just a weekly wrestling review show. Along with that, we do podcasts each and every day that can be delivered to you directly into your podcatcher by signing up to our Patreon. It is only $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And you'll get podcasts like the next one. SmackDown. It falls at the end of the week and sometimes it's forgotten, but we have got you covered with our East Coast dads. Yeah, both of these gentlemen are from Nova Scotia. Yes, they are dads, and we call them the Smack Daddies. Reviewing SmackDown every week. A sample is up next, and if you want to get this review and each and every day get another review of pro wrestling, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, your SmackDown review with the Smack Daddies.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents, it's reigning, it's defending, it's undisputed, East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world, Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies!
I got.
Give me a second.
You do the backup.
I'll do the backup. Hold on. Let me make sure I don't turn you off. Like,
oh, I was going to say the same thing.
Goddamn Skype.
Damn Skype.
I'm like eating my lunch, doing the podcast, and I'm like, this is going great. And nope, not going great.
And then have to re-record the damn thing.
That's awesome.
That's pretty much it. Well, don't worry, we're not re-recording this, and I might even just leave that in because we'll see how the editing goes. Hello, friends. Hello, special friends. Welcome to the Smack Daddies podcast. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my usual tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
But unlike normal, we are no longer a tag team. We are a trios.
And we have a championship.
We need a new championship. The championship we actually won it with AEW. No, we have come in. Mr. Big Voice himself has joined us. Joe, you're Mr. Big Voice and you're here in person.
All right. So since you've put it that way, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents its East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world. Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies. What's up, boys?
See, now they get it. They hear it twice now. And when we had Joe in, we're the trios. This is the dad. You officially, well, you're part of the dad club. So you might as well join in today. And, you know, nothing special going on in the world.
Just... No, pretty boring. It's nothing. This is zero.
So we have to let you in. Boris was talked about joining us. Matt had talked about joining us. Boris's last words of advice to us was don't get sued.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty easy.
Well, we are about to talk about many things, including SmackDown. We're going to start with the. We talked already a little bit about our lives. We might chat a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit about a little bit of wrestling news that's gone on, and then we're going to get into SmackDown. So, Joe, you're more than welcome to just hang out for the whole thing. You're more than welcome to come and go as you please. And who knows? We might have other special guests, as this is the Smack Daddies podcast that, like, Friday. Who knew Friday is an important day in wrestling?
Do you know what? I said to myself earlier today, I'm like, the only way that this day gets crazier is if we get Black Friday on top of everything else.
Oof.
Well, thank goodness we didn't get Black Friday. So I'll start with Greg and then go to Joe. Just how's your week been?
My week has been interesting. I have been, as you know, Brad, pretty radio silent all week. I had a bunch of execs in town, so it was weird days, full days in the office all week instead of the one day a week that we've been going in. So that's been a bit of a transition on top of, you know, the usual things that's going on, you know, in the evenings and stuff. So it's been a weird and wacky week. I was trying to kind of get back to normal. Here we are. And that was my week.
And Joe, how about you? How is life out in Toronto?
It's pretty busy. We're in the middle, at least at work anyways, we're in the middle of the return to work type deal. And my team is pretty knee deep in a lot of that setup. So, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to get going. And then on top of that, I'm kind of going through a reno that starts soon. So we're in the middle of like packing the house and getting furniture out of here. So it's been a little nuts.
And I hear it's hot as balls.
Today was, yes. It was weird because it was really hot today, like during the afternoon. And then like in the late afternoon, so around 6-7 o'clock, it cooled down pretty nicely. But
that's good.
But I'm like wearing a tank top and it was like, I should have brought a hoodie. Like, it was like that kind of thing.
So I got nothing like you guys. I got my usual like long days. That's what we're doing at work. I run programming, so we're coming to the end of all that season and we'll get into our break. We had our staff retreat where we organize the next year. Oh, and just for fun, last Sunday I had an afternoon off where I was kind of just trying to figure out what to do. And I learned how to ride a bike as a 41-year-old man. So as a kid, knew how to ride a bike, was getting to that point where I was sturdy. And then I went down a giant hill and crashed into a telephone pole. Yeah. So never got back on a bike again until I was in my 20s, and that didn't go well either. So my father-in-law gave me a bike, and he passed away a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic. And he's like, come on now, you gotta do this. And so that was it. Last Sunday afternoon, took 2 hours, and I'm not going to say I'm great, but I'm steady. So that's
stop. Did you have training wheels?
No training wheels.
Okay, this is making sure.
0 to 60, got out his little bike out, and it was not a trike or anything. It's like just one of those bikes that you can like snap in half and put it in the back seat of your car. So learning how to on a simple thing, and
dude, it's never too late, man. Never too late.
All I can do is think of seeing Brad like on a scooter instead, like, you know, a WWE superstar we watched tonight, just scooting around instead of going on the bike. And apparently I broke Joe.
I have the long flowing locks too. I could put my hat on and just, yeah, that would be great.
How well do you say the word Randy?
Let me try. Randy.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I don't know, Greg. I thought yours was still better. You weren't even trying.
All right, boys. Well, Greg, this is where you take over. Don't get us sued as we go through the news and notes of the week.
So I started the news pack. I usually start the news pack on Monday after I've listened to the main show, and I start kind of reading some of the weird and wacky things that are out there, and I gave up. I'll be honest with y'all. I gave up this week, and I'm going to talk on things in the news pack that are not going to be talked about on Sunday, because there's a crap load of other stuff going on. So let's start with some good news, you know, because this week has been interesting. As posted on June 13th, Big E posted on Instagram and gave an update of how his recovery is going. Things seem to be moving up. But 3 months ago, he suffered his broken neck, and he posted on his Instagram throwing his neck brace in the garbage. So that is great news, and glad to see that he is on the mend. And we are more than excited to see him kind of get back to normal. And God, I don't even know, but I mean, that's the best news that we could possibly, get at this point.
So he is, does this mean he's avoided surgery?
No, I think he already had surgery.
Oh,
I believe so. I believe he had surgery. In the video posted, I apologize. He said that no ligament damage, no surgery, which I'm very thankful for. So that's great news.
Very good news.
definitely. I want to see this guy get back. I mean, you never want to see someone get hurt like that, regardless of whether or not you're a fan. And, you know, Big E, you know, he's just one of those guys that I think, you know, people like, both fans and sort of people in the industry. So, you know, hopefully he does make it back to the ring.
Yeah, hopefully very soon. In other news, and this is from yesterday, Sonya Deville is expanding her brand, I guess, outside of WWE. Her and NXT star Mandy Rose are planning to open their own donut shop in Los Angeles called Demandy's Donuts after the success of their social media videos where they ate donuts. So I don't have a date of when they were hoping to be open, but they are hinting it's the first of many donut shops that her and Rose could be opening across the country. She also noted that their donuts will be available for delivery as well. So that's great news for them. Anyone going to LA anytime soon that could get themselves some Demandy's donuts?
I would definitely check that out. I mean, I love donuts.
Says the guy who works out 18 times a day.
Okay, look, let's get this out of the way. The reason I work out as much as I do is so I can eat whatever I want. That's really it.
And it works, and it's the greatest way to enjoy that stuff. I'm only going as far as Dallas this summer. So if I end up having to fly farther, maybe I can ask to be rerouted through LA. It's a little bit of a long way to get home, but might be worth it for some donuts.
Maybe. And at this point, I'm going to put up a bit of a mature content label at this point, because I've already told Brad before, Joe, you got on the show, but this story is how I started and collecting news for the week. And I can't let this one go. But Ronda Rousey did an interview on the Kurt Angle show this week, where she was talking about adapting to the WWE women's locker room. Again, you've been warned in advance.
Wait, hold on. Earmuffs, James. James, cover your ears, okay? Leave the room. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Okay. Rousey recalled talking to Paul Heyman one time where she told him that whenever she would leave the locker room, the drama would happen. And whenever there was one of the girls being unfair or anything, Rousey knew that she would ask what was going on when the drama would happen. She adds, so far as I know, it's just sunshine and lollipops in the locker room. It's a bunch of cupcakes and hand jobs. Everyone's having a great time. Yeah.
Every time that you want to like Ronda Rousey, she does something that, you know, makes you cringe. You know what I mean? And I mean, I kind of get where she's coming from, because, you know, like coming from the UFC locker room, for example, I got to imagine it's a bit tougher, quote unquote. But I just thought that comment was like that was really uncalled for. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, come on.
We all have coworkers we don't like and people that we don't get along with, but you don't call them out publicly.
No.
And so no, that's not cool.
No, not on a podcast, nothing like that. And, you know, like, again, I genuinely want to like Ronda Rousey. I think, you know, she's got talent. You know, I was a fan of hers in the UFC, but then I see her, you know, say stuff and you're like, what are you doing, Ronda? You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And of course, I mean, you know, we should say something about it. There's kind of two big news of the week. We haven't received any sort of confirmation from WWE, but this kind of happened a couple of days ago, and hearing more and more rumblings about it tonight. But it appears that Sasha Banks' time in WWE has come to an end. We are seeing reports, again, unconfirmed by WWE, that Sasha Banks has been released from the company. There's been no statement as of yet. So, again, take this with a grain of salt at this point until there's an official statement that has been released. But it appears that Sasha Banks is going to be no longer with the company. Gentlemen, thoughts on any of that?
So is this a part of the thing we're supposed to yell allegedly three or four times before we talk?
That's, you know, that's why I kind of set that up as I did.
It can't hurt to say allegedly.
Okay, so allegedly, Sasha Banks has allegedly been released, allegedly. So, I mean, listen, if she's gone, it's really sad that they couldn't come to terms. But if this gives her some peace and some mental health, I'd be okay with that. Because I really like her. I want her to do well, but she's obviously not happy there. So maybe they can come back together in a couple of years. But let's be honest, Joe, you guys maybe could use somebody like Sasha Banks over on the AEW side. And I just couldn't imagine. Like, if she goes over there, A, she'll have freedom so that she can do her side projects such as Star Wars, which I love. She's great in that. B, they need some women who can come in there and be top stars. They have a couple of women who are developing, but they really only have one or two top stars, and she could go in the mix right away.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. To be honest with you, I think what AEW needs more of are ring generals more than anything else. Like, stars are good, don't get me wrong. And Sasha, I'm sure if she came into AEW, you know, if that happens, because we don't even know she's been like officially released. I mean, Sasha going to, forget AEW, Sasha going anywhere would be a big boost to whatever women's division she decides to go to, like whether it be Impact or whatever. But yeah, like I, you know, I do hope, you know, sort of to your point that, you know, if she has left WWE, you know, that like this is a step in the right direction for her as a person, not necessarily Sasha Banks, but you know, her, like, so yeah, let her go do some Hollywood, let her, you know, party it up with, you know, party it up at concerts and stuff. I've seen a couple of, you know, videos of that. I'm more concerned about the person before the wrestler. And if this is, you know, going to help her get move forward with her life, hey, I'm all for it. You know, and you know what, if the rumors are true, and again, we don't know for sure, but if the rumors are true and she stood up for herself, even more respect to her.
So what you heard, for anyone who kind of came in late there, what you heard there is Joe Aguinaldo saying that AEW needs a ring getter al, and Gunther will be going to AEW.
You are the second person that has made that joke to me tonight.
Hey, how about Sasha jumping over to Stardom? Like, that would be sweet, right?
See, you know what? That to me is more of a fit because of how well she works. And again, like if she goes to Stardom, you don't think that that's not going to draw some eyes to Stardom? I think it will. And like, I mean, isn't Kairi Sane now in Stardom? And like there's just some seriously sick. Like, that I would argue that that's, you know, that's if not the best women's roster, it's up there. And you know, Sasha being there and performing in that on that roster, man, she could have some sick matches with a bunch of people.
I didn't realize they had a boating enthusiast in Stardom.
Oh boy. Okay.
The dad jokes are just flying today. He's oh flying. My god.
All right. Have you got anything else, or I think there's no other news stories we're talking about tonight, right?
Let me, you know, you've already heard it, obviously. I know.
Wait. Stop. Sorry. Allegedly. Just hold to on. Throw those allegedly in.
I'll get to all that. I was going to say, you already heard it from Mike McGuire when he did a little bit of a breaking news thing a little earlier today. But I will read, and this isn't even allegedly, this is from WWE Board of Directors joint release that was released today, as we all take a little sip and try not to get sued. The Board of Directors today announces the special committee of the board is conducting an internal investigation to alleged misconduct by its chairman and CEO, Vincent McMahon, and John Laurinaitis, head of talent relations. And effective immediately, McMahon has voluntarily stepped back from his responsibilities as CEO and chairman of the board until the conclusion of the investigation. McMahon will retain his role and responsibilities related to WWE creative content during this period and remains committed to cooperating with the review underway. The special committee has appointed Stephanie McMahon to serve as interim CEO and interim chairwoman, says the release from WWE. After this news release came out, there was a report from, I believe it was CNBC, who were first to report that that WWE former stepped away CEO and chairman Vince McMahon was going to address the crowd tonight, and it was going to be in character. And we'll talk about all that in a few, but that is the latest news that we have that is official for on the Vince McMahon story that we have right now.
So to just go over the facts for anybody who's hearing this for the first time, Vince McMahon was accused of having an affair with someone that was his subordinate, who may or may not have received a pay increase. This relationship ended. There was an NDA filed, but somebody allegedly, one of her friends, sent something to the board. This resulted in an internal investigation, which is still ongoing, which has resulted in everything Greg just went through. And that's kind of where we are with the story until Mr. McMahon shows up on SmackDown. Joe, is this the biggest story that you have been in your years of watching wrestling? I've been watching wrestling for about 40. My dad said we started watching at 3 years old. I have no memories before I was 10. I got hit in the head. That's a whole different story. But like, I've watched wrestling my whole life. You've been a lifelong fan. Is this the biggest story you've ever dealt with?
Honestly, no. I mean, I would, I would argue like the Benoit tragedy was probably a bigger story and a more serious story. I would put Owen Hart up there as well, because those were real life tragedies. Like, with all due respect to this, the alleged, you know, complaint, really, what are we talking about? McMahon had a you know, he had an affair, you know, and may or may not have paid, you know, paid or you know, given funds for an NDA or whatever. I'm not saying it's not a big story. Don't get me wrong. And it's arguably maybe one of the bigger stories this year. But in all of wrestling, nah, it's not even close. Like, I would, you know, you still had, like, there was the steroid trial. I thought that was a pretty big one, right? But again, that comes with watching wrestling for a long time, right? But definitely this year, it's like, this was a huge thing when it first came out, right? And I mean, you know, regardless, and especially in 2022, this is a pretty big deal. You know, like, you know, with sort of the way things are with, like, let's say the Me Too movement, you know, that sort of thing, like stuff that you quote unquote, and again, allegedly may have been able to get away with back in the 80s and the 90s or even the 70s or 60s. You can't do that stuff in 2022. And I mean, you know, I talk to Dan about this all the time with things that go on in wrestling. Again, not related, but, you know, when Cornette made that comment on the NWA TV and he got in trouble for it and he got kicked off NWA again, you may have gotten away with that in 1980, but in 2021, 2022, you can't do that stuff. Right. And, you know, I'm curious to see what happens to Vince, you know, because like this is a pretty big deal. And, you know, I not that I want to make this too big of a deal, but, you know, we just got through the big Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial. And, you know, there was a lot of, let's say that was a very polarizing trial, like that verdict. So you don't think that that might have an effect on how people view this investigation? You don't think that WWE or that the legal firm that's investigating them doesn't have that in the back of their heads? You know what I mean? So I again, definitely a big story. I'm not going to deny it. Biggest in wrestling though? Nah, not even close.
What about you, Greg? You're closer to the same age as me. I tend to agree with I'll let Joe have that one because there are some other big things. And the ratings, the effect on ratings that Benoit had, like you can draw a bar graph basically and says the ratings went down significantly. About 25% of the audience disappeared after the Benoit tragedy. So, but Greg, you've been a wrestling fan a long time. Biggest thing you've thought about, talked about with your friends?
I haven't talked a lot actually about this with my friends. A few people I've talked to about it. It's certainly, I would say, the biggest of this year. I would agree it's probably not the biggest of all time. But you know, to kind of add to Joe's point, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this progresses. You know, there have been rumors, there have been innuendo over the years that this is a long-term strategy that WWE has undertaken back even into the 80s. So I'm curious to see how far back this you know, investigation is going to go, and what the investigation is going to turn up and you know, provide as updates. And the big question here is, you know, is it something that, frankly, you can return to your existing role or to your previous role after everything is said and done? And I don't know if that's going to be possible in this case. I just simply don't know.
Yeah, the big question comes down to, like, how did they pay that money? So yeah, if he paid it through personal funds, that's one thing. But if he spent corporate funds, that's potentially, you know, a breach of, you know, whatever WWE money, that, you know, like, you shouldn't be doing that, right? And then on top of that, and I think Mike McGuire, not Mark, Mike, I listened to your show. so he had posted or tweeted something along the lines of, like, you know, a morality clause, and that WWE has one. So, you know, Vince, even if, let's say, and again, not saying it's true, but let's say they find that, quote unquote, everything was, for lack of a better word, legal, even though I'm loathe to use that term. There is a morality clause that he could get, you know, subjected to. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And, you know, again, it's only been whatever, it's been a day since this was announced. So, you know, I'm curious to see how this goes.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was actually going to bring up as well, Joe, is that Brandon Thurston is doing some reporting on this as well, of course. And one of the things, you know, he was able to obtain, actually, it was from archive.org, which is the WWE, their code of conduct and stuff. And one of the equal opportunity for employment non-harassment, one of the examples of prohibited conduct include, without limitation, the grant or offering of an employment quid pro quo for personal intimacy is one of the items that's called out in that document. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that's going. You know, we're not trying to speculate here. I'm just, you know, sit back and wait and see what the next shoe to drop is.
Well, and speaking of the next shoe to drop, we have a later entry into this. This trios is now going to become a Survivor Series foursome, as coming in from the Windy City, unless you have a surprise for us, Jake, I don't think you're part of the Dad Club, but that's okay. You're an honorary member of the Dad Club for tonight. Jake Alinar, welcome to the recording of the Smack Daddies podcast. And we're happy to have you here, brother. Let me put it this way. Jake, how old are you? You're in your mid-20s, right?
I'm 25.
Yeah, so is this the biggest story for your lifetime then?
Well, the first year I started following wrestling was 06. And the year after was the Benoit situation, which is when I started to find out. And I was 10 at the time. And when some of the details started to come out, and it kind of like turned me off in a bit, been on wrestling, but this will probably be the two big stories that are up there. By the way, guys, thanks for having me. You know, it's a great honor to be here.
Hey, okay, so how about this one? This is the first time in any of our lifetimes that the person at the head of the WWE helm is not Vince McMahon. It is now a McMahon, but it's Stephanie McMahon.
Right.
Is that like, think about it. Did you ever think, as long as he was breathing, that he wouldn't be in charge of the company?
I'd never thought I would see this day, to be honest with you. But let's just clarify here that even though that he's stepped back from his duties in the business side of things, he's still responsible for the creative direction, the creative operations. So, stuff as of right now, it's still a Vince show, as we've seen tonight, and some of the decisions are definitely from Vince. Just want to get that out of the way. But we'll just see what I'm curious to see what the progression will be like the next few months. And considering that, I don't think I have ever seen a crazier few months of news just going like wildfire, just spreading like wildfire. It was just last month we talked about the Sasha Banks thing, and then a couple of weeks ago we talked about what happened with MJF, and earlier in the week we talked about the Jeff Hardy DUI affair that we've seen there. I mean, I have never seen such a crazier few months that I've seen. Not that I remember though.
Yeah, and all those stories you talked about have happened since May 29th, just to give everybody a perspective. Yeah. So this is not even in a 30-day period. We've had some of the biggest stories. And any one of these stories would be a big story, and yet they're like Sasha Banks possibly being released from WWE and her whole contract thing kind of just slid underneath the Vince McMahon Mack truck that's rolling down the freeway right now. Okay, guys. What do you think? Do you think there's any chance this is some sort of power play being played in the background? Now, we're just speculating because we have no inside information. We are not, just for the record, does anybody own shares in WWE? Okay. I see.
Not this guy. Nope.
Jake, do you have WWE shares that we're unaware of?
I think Jake's. Yeah.
Jake.
You're muted, dude.
Ear muted. I asked you.
There we go.
You just leave that hot for the time being, Jake.
That's a good idea.
Try not to mumble. So or say anything weird into the microphone that I'll have to edit out later.
But no, okay. It's all good. But I don't own shares.
So we're speculating all together. And do you think there's a sale coming, guys?
I think this increases the chances of the possibility of a sale being searched around. I don't know if this could have how this could affect their most important business deal, which is regarding TV rights negotiations. Considering they have multiple broadcasting partners in A&E, NBC Universal, as well as Fox. So it's going to be very interesting how much this will progress and see if any sponsors have some sort of reactionary cause towards us that could tell these networks kind of a sign here.
Yes, and Vice TV, they've recently worked out some sort of partnership with the guys who created Dark Side of the Ring. So there is a lot of Netflix as well. There's that Vince McMahon documentary that's allegedly going to come out at some point. Greg, let's kick it over to you. Do you think any chance that this company is a way to get to our sales date coming up?
I don't know, but I think it's time to take that Vince documentary back to the drawing board, because that's going to need a major rewrite after this week. I don't think I see a sale coming up, because I think right now the price would be diminished and minimized in the current situation that they're in. I think that it will need a little time to smooth over once everything is kind of, comes out in the wash. So I'm going to lean towards the no, not right now.
All right.
And this kind of just popped on my head, actually. So do you think, could there be a possibility, if not a sale, could Vince take back this company private as sort of a last-ditch effort, possibly to save his butt? So,
well, first of all, he can't be forced out of this company. He still is the majority shareholder.
Yeah, right.
And in order to go private, he would have to have more equity outside of the company that he would be able to buy back some of the shares and then turn it back private. So unless he has some secret investors we're unaware of, Jake, I would love to say that that's a possibility, but I'm not thinking it is. I'm going to throw things quickly over to Joe.
Sure.
So kick around any of those three questions. Documentary. You can talk a little bit about that. You can talk a little bit about whether this company's for sale, or Jake's idea. Is that possible?
I mean, anything's possible. I don't think it's realistic though. Also, with regards to the sale, just doesn't feel right. I don't think now would be the time. To be honest with you, I think you know, you guys mentioned the TV deals. You mentioned the sponsorships. I mean, they just got in with Peacock, all that fun stuff. I got to imagine that all of them are watching this pretty closely, because depending on the outcome, I think this could potentially have an effect on, you know, some of the revenue, or like some of their deals, right? Like, again, let's go back to the morality clause. Let's just say, again, not saying it's true, but sake of argument, they find something out where, you know, Vince did use company money to, you know, like right out of the gate, he had an affair. Right out of the gate, that's just wrong, period. Right. You know, you don't think that some of those sponsors are going to go, hey, wait a second, you know, like, we don't want to be involved with this. Right. So I think at this point, more to Greg's, this is just sort of back up what Greg said. I think a lot of people are in a wait and see mode to see where this goes. You know, like I don't hear a lot of people pulling their support for WWE, but again, you know, in today's day and age, depending on what happens, if you know, if everything goes south, I could see a lot of sponsors going, okay, we're stepping back. We're walking away from this. Right.
I'll throw this in right now. My wife said to me this afternoon, as she was talking about this, we are having this discussion as we made quesadillas and had supper together. She's like, what do you expect? This is WWE. I mean, this is kind of a carny, scuzzy company. I mean, this isn't even the worst thing Vince McMahon's ever done. And I wonder if a lot of the general populace just kind of shrugs its shoulders and goes, eh, this is wrestling. They're kind of scumbags. Jake, what do you think about that? Do you think that we're the weird people who watch the scummy show?
Probably. can't leave that off and out there. So, but you know, it's alleged to be, you know, consensual between the paralegal and Vince, but we probably, I mean, it's not really known if it's really consensual, because it's probably just one side of the story. But it's really iffy. It's really iffy on that issue right there.
All right, I'm going to throw a grenade into this conversation. So first of all, there's this issue about like positions of power. Like in my position at working for different things, I was never like, I would not be technically allowed to date a young person who was in my care until they, even after they had finished their time in my care, until a few years after. That's not technically written in my contract, but then there's the whole affair part. Is the paralegal now in a legal jeopardy? So I got a legal opinion this afternoon I had a lawyer friend in my office today, and I was like, hey, I'm watching this wrestling stuff, and I showed him the news story, and he's like, you know what? That paralegal might actually be the one in trouble at this point, because she has technically broken her NDA. She talked about her affair with Vince, with one of her friends who sent the documents back to the board of directors. Yes, this screwed up Vince's life, but like, is there a lawsuit going the other direction at some point?
I would say if it was anyone else besides WWE, I would say no. With WWE, I would say maybe. And I simply say, I mean, the countersuit of Martha Hart, because she filed the suit in the different state as opposed to Connecticut, where they could do punitive damages. That to me just kind of makes me think maybe.
Oh. Can you imagine Vince sues? I mean, technically, the legal opinion I got, and we're talking about a Canadian lawyer, not an American lawyer, but he was like, technically, you broke your NDA, you're screwed. And I laughed at him. I was like, because I've signed NDAs, and he's like, that's the legal advice he always gives me. He's like, once you sign your NDA, like, keep your mouth shut. Like, not even to your spouse if it's something really bad.
Yep.
Okay, let's cue up everybody and let's talk a little bit about the most bizarre beginning of SmackDown ever, because it kind of ties in. Greg, go ahead. You want to throw back in on something else?
Yeah, there was one other news thing that came in late that I wanted to put out there, and it's sad news, and I hope to hate for this transition, but Dave Hepner passed away today. at age 73. Dave Hebner, of course, was a WWE referee back in the WrestleMania, the early WrestleMania days. And of course, the half of the two Hebner situation from, that was what, WrestleMania 5, right?
WrestleMania, it was leading into WrestleMania 4 because 5 was...
Oh, 5 was Savage, Steamboat Savage.
No, that was three.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 4, I think, was the tournament. So 5 would be the one I think you're talking about.
Wait, no, wasn't it? Had to be before 4 because 4 was the tournament, and that's how Andre and Hogan got the bye, was because of the screwy referee thing. And Savage came out of 4 as the champion, and then it was Savage Hogan for 5. Boys, the encyclopedia is right here. As I point to my giant head, I'm really sad that he's gone. I'm saying, you know, it's a tough. I got to feel bad for his brother and for, you know, for the whole Hebner family. It's never fun to lose a loved one. So, all right. So now that we've gone through the sad part, this all kind of ties back to this Vince story, because when I heard that he's going to be on TV tonight, I was like, there's got to be a lawyer somewhere screaming, Vince, don't do anything stupid. But he's Vince McMahon. And as Jake pointed out, he's still in charge of creative. So before we get to SmackDown beginning, we have Vince McMahon come out. He comes down to the ring to his No Chance in Hell. We get predominantly a positive reaction with, you can hear a smattering of boos. Vince comes into the ring. He cuts a Vince promo talking about, you know, you just saw the title signature, then, now, and forever. And the last word is them. And that is the most important part. Before that, he talked about how happy he is to be with the WWE Universe, how happy he is to be here in Minnesota, says his line, and then saunters his way back up the stage as if to say, I'm still here, guys. Like, what the heck was that?
And can I just say, crowd.mp3 was in full force tonight.
I think you have a contender here for your WTF moment of the year.
That's one contender, yeah.
I mean, this week it should be a contender for WTF moment of the year, but I think that segment needs to go in the list.
That's automatic in the worst of, in the worst of show, in my opinion. If it wasn't obvious before, he is not going to show you he's rattled by any controversy. You know, he clearly just went out in front of the crowd to get the temperature of the room for the controversy. Unfortunately for him, it's not WWE fans that are the ones he has to worry about offending. Primarily, it's, you know, his corporate partners have far less tolerance. But he just wanted to get out there and show you that he's not going to be intimidated. And it's kind of that behavior that we saw. And we only got, you know, close to a minute. Not even that, probably.
Joe, this was weird, right? Like, I think we're all saying it's weird, but like, what was the point of Vince showing up there other than he can?
I think that was the point. Like, kind of Jake said it himself, is that I think he just came out to say, yep, you know, like, you know, nothing's going to faze me here. I mean, remember the steroid trial, how they compared that, like, you know, that us versus them mentality. I mean, Stephanie even compared to 9/11, I think. It's like some ridiculous, something crazy. So I think that's just Vince showing that, you know, you ain't going to stop me. That said, like, I kind of get it to a point from Vince's perspective, but like, you know, the other side of that coin is really, like, we follow this stuff, okay? Like, you know, we podcast about it, we talk about it, you know, Patreons, et cetera, et cetera. How many in that audience even knew about this? You know what I mean? Like, there's that too. So, you know, I think people just came in, like, you know, how many of that crowd knew that they had apparently torn up the script last night and rewrote it for tonight, right? Like,
sure.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, I was talking to Lavransky about this actually today, and it was either he was going to play, like, you know, he was going to turn this into some, you know, Mr. McMahon rant, or it was going to be, you know, kind of what Jake said, I'm here. You ain't going to stop me. And that's very subtly for Vince. I think that's what this segment was. It was just to come out to say, hey, everything's cool. And
it's in par for his brand. It's in par with his brand.
Yeah, it's exactly him, right?
Is this the most subtle Vince we've ever seen?
I would argue yes. If in fact it was to show the size of his cojones, that was probably the most subtle we've ever seen it. At the very least understated. He definitely, you know, it's not like he came out to do a storyline. It's not like he came out to do, you know, a crazy rant. He's, you know, now, then, forever, together, and welcome to SmackDown. That was really it in a nutshell.
To me, it was very much a, would the show have been any different without this? And I would argue no. Like, did we get anything? Did we get any further insight? Did he even challenge the status quo? No, he just came out, said his 40 seconds, and walked away.
It was a pure ratings ploy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. They wanted people to watch to see what will happen. Yeah. And that's what, and we got the result here.
Yeah. Is this the 2022 equivalent of a bra and panties match?
It very much feels that way. Jake, I want to get your take on this. How do you feel about wrestling fans? Because wrestling fans literally cheered Vince McMahon. And I'm going to challenge what Joe said and say that this, if people don't know about this, they're living underneath a rock. It was on the news cycle on CTV today. It was part of the news. If you watch the 30-minute news loop here in Canada, it's one of our major broadcasters played a clip from this. It was the front page of the New York Times article.
I got a push notification from CNN. Right? Like, push to my phone to say, and I'm not subscribed to anything like that on CNN. You know, I'll often read their app. I'll read, you know, CBC. I'll read a few different news sites. But I mean, when it's pushing to my phone and pushing to phones around the world that, hey, WWE chairman is being investigated, I mean, I don't know how much more mainstream you can go. So Meltzer on CNN at 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. I didn't watch it yet. I was out because my kid had lacrosse. Did anyone see it? Was there anything?
Well, it was a simple pre-edited piece. But Jake Tapper did interview Meltzer about it, and it was kind of funny how he responded. The anchor, Jake Tapper, said when Dave told him that he's going to appear on SmackDown tonight, and he said, Of course he would. So it kind of connects to that stigma of what pro wrestling is to, you know, some of the mainstream. So
a good quasi Canadian boy.
So anybody think it weird that we're watching Vince McMahon in the middle of a controversy show up on national television and getting a hero's welcome?
Again, if you're talking. You know, wrestling / WWE fans, I'm not entirely shocked by it. You know, like, they weren't going to boo him. Like, it didn't sound like they were going to boo him. So, you know, and I bottom line is it's Vince, right? And I honestly can't, like, when they were cheering him, I can't say that I was surprised. Let's put it that way.
It was weird for me. Like, it's just it'll only get weirder if, like, we find out there are 30 people involved in this. Or heck, even if there's like four or five that he's had affairs with over the years and he's paid them off, it's going to be weird that the guy is possibly a predator. And I'm saying allegedly, like, he could be, like, it's weird. Even if it's all consensual, he is a man who is documented as having at least one affair on his wife. And now we know of at least two, which is weird.
Well, and I believe Meltzer has reported this week that, you know, him and Linda are married kind of in name only now. So, I mean, I don't know how long ago that was, how long they've been, you know, in that kind of phase. So I don't want to speak too much to how many, you know, affairs or relationships Vince has had. I think it's just wait and see.
I mean, over the past 20 years, like, how many times have we seen Vince book himself into segments that are flirtatious with the divas? I mean, this is a guy who ordered Trish Stratus to strip down to his her underwear in the middle of the ring. Also making out with Candice Michelle. So it's not really a surprise that it has reflected, you know, behind the scenes as well, especially in the real life too.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. Truth is stranger than fiction. And then, you know, to quote the way that wrestling would say it, you know, the greatest characters are themselves turned up. And maybe this has just been who Vince McMahon has been all along. It's very weird. For me, it's very weird to have a guy who, deep down, I wanted to believe he was a decent human being who was just kind of weird. And it turns out he's probably not a decent human being. So, any last thoughts about this whole thing? Where do we go from here? Like, what is the... How about this? I'll put this question out to the panel, and I'll start with Greg. What is the... We'll go worst case and best case scenario for Vince. What is the best thing that... What's the best that can happen for Vince, and what is the absolute worst case?
That's a great question.
That's a good one.
I don't know. And I haven't given it any thought, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I mean, best case scenario is that I guess he returns to his existing or to his previous roles and business as usual and continues on as if things were normal. Worst case scenario, I simply don't know.
I mean, Bully Ray said it. I was listening to Busted Open this morning. Bully Ray said it best. The only way this company would be taken out of his hands if you just take it out of his cold, dead hands. That's how, you know, stubborn, you know, Vince is. You know, it's interesting because, like, do you remember the Raw after Benoit's death and the very beginning? The very beginning had Vince in the middle of the ring in an empty crowd. It kind of got me, you know, it's two completely different situations, but the atmosphere and the type of sense that I got from it's eerily similar. Hearing that's, oh, we're gonna go through this and nothing's gonna we're gonna get through this, and yeah, some of his behavior toward that. So
yeah, Jake, it's a weird, the whole thing was weird. Listen, that's the worst case for me, is that he's an old, like, we don't think of Vince McMahon as an old man, but he's 75 years old. He's an old man. This might kill the poor guy. Like, that was the thing that was most striking about me today, was when he came out to the ring, he looked like an old man. And that may be the first time I've looked at Vince McMahon as an old man. The bags underneath his eyes, you could tell that this has taken its toll on poor old Vince.
I don't know if I can agree with that, Brad. I mean, the last few times we've seen him on TV, he's looking like this. He's looking like death warmed over Vince. I don't know if he looks any different after the last 48 hours than he did, you know, the last time we saw him on TV, WrestleMania.
He doesn't have that, you know, that mystical, intimidating presence of him compared to, like, his peak in 98. So, yeah, we've kind of known that for a while, so...
Joe, last kick at the can before we go through it, we're actually going to talk about what, you know, what was a pretty good SmackDown. But yeah, last comments on, well, Vince McMahon and dear God, what are we in for?
Well, again, it's day one. So I think at this point, I'm just sort of at a, let's see what happens. Now, though, to your point about best and worst case scenarios, I think best case scenario is that everything, you know, turns out to be I guess, cool, for lack of a better term. And Vince goes back and he, you know, he does his thing, right? Worst case scenario is that if they do find that there was, you know, misconduct, and he still goes back and does his thing, I think that would be a huge mistake on the WWE's part. And like, if nothing else, like, you know, also at a worst case scenario for the WWE specifically, not necessarily for Vince, is they lose some of that sponsorship or they lose some of those TV deals. Cause again, I gotta believe that, you know, Peacock and Fox and, you know, USA and, like, you know, any of their affiliations with, you know, like, you know, Make-A-Wish, all that fun stuff, they're going to be watching this. They're going to be looking at this. And, you know, depending on the result, you know, people will, you know, back away from things if they, if there's too much heat, or even if there's like an indication of too much heat, they'll back away from things. So that's what I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah. And if he doesn't leave, and let's say, because that's a possibility, Vince could be found guilty of a lot of things. Had he has enough shares to keep himself in a position of power, if not chair of the board, at least the head of creative. And then you get this weird, awkward ickiness where Vince McMahon is in charge of all this and you don't want to be associated with this company. Like to bring this full circle, like what happened with Benoit, where like 25% of wrestling fans dropped off after the Benoit tragedy. And yeah, are we in that? That's the worst for me, is that not only would it affect Vince, that it would basically hollow out the wrestling industry.
That's a good point.
Well, boys, Joe, you're more than welcome to keep. We're going to just blaze through the rest of this SmackDown. For those of you on the free feed, you picked the best week ever to be on the free feed, because we're going to roll through what was a very good SmackDown. And if anybody wants to jump in, just wave at me. I'll pause every once in a while and we'll go around the horn.
Okay, so I'm an old fornicator, so I am going to drop off. But I just wanted to say thanks for having me on, Jake. It's always good to see you. The one thing I will say, though, or the two things actually that I'll say about this SmackDown, is that Shanky has some sick, wicked dance moves. And Riddle Reigns, which I know you guys are going to cover in a lot more detail, that was a pretty kick-ass match, and good on both of them. So anyways, guys, I'm going to sign off, and I will catch you guys later.
Good night, Joe.
All right, see you, Joe. See ya.
This way, there'll be some of the podcasts for you to listen to that you weren't involved with. So that saves you the podcast for you.
We'll timestamp that for Joe. We'll have to send him a note and say, okay, listen from this point forward. When Joe started to say the things I want to talk about SmackDown, the one thing is We the Ones. That's where I thought he was going. I was like, dang, we're done. Joe dropped the line. We're good.
Dude, we got a lot to talk about. Listen, not anything less than the fact that as soon as we go through the entrance of SmackDown, Riddle comes out, who we can't call by his first name because he went through a similar scandal a few years ago. Not nearly as bad as what's going on with poor Vince, but, and I'll say poor Vince. Actually, I can't say poor Vince. What happened with Vince? If I say poor Vince, it's not because I'm siding with him. It's just one of those things where it's like, I have sympathy for everybody in this situation. And you know what? You know who I will say poor to? Poor Stephanie. Because poor Stephanie is running her father's company, not because he died, not because she was, you know, groomed for the position, although she was, but because she is now the woman running a company who has to deal with the scandal.
And come back from a leave of absence to do so.
Yeah, God love her, Stephanie, and everybody who's there who's taking their lumps in this company. So, yeah, Riddle shows up, and he comes to the ring, and it was not lost on me that Riddle had his own scandal. As Riddle cuts his promo, we get recap number one, which is the saga of Riddle versus the Bloodline, including all the stuff with Randy and the Usos and him getting hurt, and then Riddle's climb towards his title match tonight, and Riddle gets very serious. He talks about Randy. He talks about his surgery and how he's watching from home. And tonight he's going to make him proud. They talk about all the crazy stuff that they've gone through, the countless championships, how over Randy is, just how amazing he is. And yeah, he talks about all the sacrifices Randy has made and to entertain the fans. And he said, got the crowd to chant, thank you, Randy. Riddle dedicates this all to him. And he then asks them to play Randy's theme song so that he can saunter out like a viper. And so my only question is, did he lay it on too thick? Or was this a good promo using the circumstances that he stuck with?
I would say yes.
Yes to both.
Yes, the answer is yes to your question. I would say to both. I would say he laid it on maybe a little too thick, but I thought it was a pretty good promo.
Yeah, it was definitely a great Heroes promo. And the best part about this is, even if he were to fail, and I'm not going to spoil it until we get to the match. Anyways, even if he were to fail, it was a hero's journey that we got to go on with Riddle. And we saw he's doing this for the Gipper. He's doing this for his fallen friend. And I love how the announcers jump right in and they're setting up Corbin versus Moss, which leads to recap number two, Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss, because we've got to get to our 8 recap minimum for this show. And by the way, we did hit the 8 recap minimum.
Oh, good. I was worried about that.
Listen, we can't watch SmackDown without recaps. What the heck? I mean, that's the best part of the show. All right, as we come back from commercial, Happy Corbin is there, and our grudge match is set up. Match number one of the night is Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss, and it's Madcap beating up Corbin. He's a house of fire, and we get a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of offense. And I love the impressive feat of strength early on in this match where Corbin jumps at Madcap and Madcap catches him. And yeah, that's an impressive one. I really enjoyed that. And basically the match has a couple of commercials in it. But one of the cooler things in this match is where Corbin throws Madcap into the corner. He slides to the outside doing his Corbin slide and then clotheslines him over the barricade. We get a count out tease as we come back from commercial. We get a bunch of a bunch of interesting moves, but basically out of nowhere, we get the punchline. And then just to put the exclamation point on this, we get a second punchline by Madcap on Happy Corbin for the win. And I guess, so is this a best, he won best 3 out of 5. Do we get another rematch? One, and two, was this a satisfying culmination to their feud if it is the end?
So this match, 9 minutes, 22 seconds. I think this is the end of the feud. I think this was the blow off on TV. I mean, calling something the last laugh match and referring it to as such. I think that this is it. We're done.
Well, we can hope we're done, but WWE, if it's a rematch...
Oh, we'll come back to the well 6 or 7 more times, but I think we're done.
I think no one's ever officially done, though. Cue Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
It's like the Hotel California.
Yep. The only time you're done is if you're released or demoted back to NXT, and even then they'll demote your person you feud with, and they'll just send them down to hang out with you. Okay, we cut to the back. Street Profits are there. And they say, it's been a long time since we have been on SmackDown, fam. The hometown guys won his last match. Big ups to Madcap Moss. We have the Street Profits talking about how they want a match at Money in the Bank. That it is bros over roses. And they want their babies back because they want the smoke. I am far too white and uncool. I am a 40-something-year-old dad. I cannot cut a Street Profits promo or to even do a good recap. But clearly, this is a great promo. Their act is great. The only other thing I had, Greg, was Ford is looking jacked.
I wasn't even really paying attention. I think I was thrown off by this, by where the hell did these guys come from? Like, we had a preview last week for Viking Raiders who were coming back and telling us about the raid, which we got again tonight. So I'm like, where did these guys just show up from? It just seemed a little nonsensical.
Listen, bros before hoes might be the unofficial WWE corporate speech for the going forward.
Oh, Brad, please.
Sorry. Don't sue us. Please don't sue us. Okay. Anyways, it was just one of those things where I just had a crack. Okay. We go back and I think we're done with this feud because Corbin's moving to his next feud. Cause we go back and the announcers are there and then Corbin interrupts and he gets at McAfee for making jokes about him. You've known me for a long time and you're the one that came up with my nickname, bum ass Corbin, when I was down and out and you keep running your mouth. And Corbin threatens to kill him. Before Corbin can walk away, Pat McAfee stands up, has the crowd chant, bum-ass Corbin, and then all laugh at him as Corbin saunters away. Are we getting a Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin match?
Yeah, I think that's SummerSlam.
Dear goodness. Why? I will say this. Corbin's character sucks, but he is competent.
Sure. I think we're getting this simply because we need star power for SummerSlam in a stadium.
Right. And cue that why sound effect, because as we come back from the commercials, we have the Hulk Hogan and Edge beating Billy and Chuck for the tag titles for recap number 3 of the evening. And as Greg yawns, I'll just keep moving. We then cue up the main event, because every time we come back from commercial tonight, we have to cue up the main event. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're getting a title match. And Roman's actually here tonight. We're not just going to pretend that he's behind his door. We then get recap number 4, which is highlights of Ronda Rousey winning her match. And then an attack by Natalya, which cues up Greg's favorite part of SmackDown. I can tell you, this is the part that Greg is, he may cut it, but only after I threaten his wife and his children, because Natalya has a live microphone on SmackDown.
Yeah, and I tried to watch this, but I couldn't watch Natalya's eyes because she was looking off camera the whole damn time.
Like, why can't she look into the camera like this? I'm currently looking into my webcam, staring at Greg and shouting a little bit as it's 12:18 at night here. And she just cut a Natalya promo where she threatens Ronda Rousey and she basically says that you've sullied my name, you've ruined her reputation, and I'm going to prove to you that the Sharpshooter and the Hart family are great. Like, so?
Yeah. Great. Fantastic.
So guess what's not making the cut tonight? Anyways, Shanky and Jinder make their way, which, by the way, has been turned into Shang-Chi and Tinder in my Google Notes, my talk-to-text.
Shang-Chi and Tinder. I think that's infringing on Poppy and Matt's gimmick.
Oh, Shang-Chi. Which one's Shang-Chi and which one's Tinder?
Well, Tinder, I mean, they've got a show about, you know, the love connections and stuff, so we can't be infringing on that.
We will not infringe. Anyways, apparently we're getting New Day versus, I was going to call them the Bollywood Boys, but that was another team's gimmick.
Yeah, the sky high 3 inches taller than Jinder Shanky.
So match number 2 of the night is Jinder versus Shanky as we come back from the commercial. Jinder gets his amazing Jinder offense in. We then get Shanky in, and you forget how big the dude is. He hits a stellar chop. And I say stellar because if Kofi's chest wasn't already caved in, that chop would have totally actually caved it in. And the problem is that Shanky likes to dance. So when Xavier starts playing his trumpet, Shanky must dance. And this causes a frustration from Jinder. He tags himself back in, and he's so distracted by Shanky that he eats a trouble in paradise. And that's the whole match.
Okay, so I have to ask, at the end, just before he does the trouble in paradise, it almost sounds like that Xavier tries to make some sort of sound that sounds like SOS before he hit the trouble in paradise, and it made me laugh.
Oh, it was super, super funny.
Yeah. So this was 3 minutes and 2 seconds.
Which, you know what? I think this could make the cut because it was like the best match. We'll get there in a second. All right, this leads us to our highlights from the Viking Raiders, which is recap number 5. Vikings doing Viking things.
Yeah, apparently coming next week. But didn't they tell us last week they were coming this week? So I don't know.
But listen, the guys cut. Well, they had to cut some things so Vince could show up and strut around.
Yep, for 40 seconds.
All right, so we go from axes to swords because out comes Drew McIntyre, who is, by the way, I'm getting there. We're on the free feed. We have to explain to people.
All right.
So Drew McIntyre has a name. What is Drew McIntyre's name as dubbed by my son, James, who filled in for you while you were away?
I don't remember. You'll have to tell me.
He's Big D.
Right.
Every time I say this out loud, I can hear someone from HR calling me and saying, Brad, you know, you work for a church and you're on a public podcast saying Big D over and over again. And listen, I will say to the poor person in HR, I'm not Greg made me do it. I blame him. So anyways,
Greg's going to hell for it is what Brad is trying to say nicely. Yeah. And you know what? He's okay with that.
I'm not okay with it. But on the other hand, I don't even know what to say. We're going to get a Drew McIntyre promo with Sheamus. I love the part with Sheamus and Butch. I think this Butch thing is growing on me. So, I mean, sorry, Lord. God help me. I think I like Butch the dog.
You think you like Butch the dog?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Gotcha. He can't control himself. It's funny.
All right,
so the two of them, both Butch and Ridge, have to stay behind. So Sheamus can come out. He does his entrance. So we have Sheamus in the ring with Drew. Big D. Yeah. Big D and Sheamus are in the ring. And Adam Pearce is there. And they have recap number 6, what happened in their match and how we didn't have a definitive winner. And they announce that Sheamus is in that match, and Sheamus starts mouthing off. Drew pummels him because that's how you solve your problems, kids. You have to. Big D has to show that he is the man, and that he lays in the heavy lumber. And as he's letting it all hang out, we then have Adam Pearce inform him that don't worry, you're in the match too. There, and then. Then Sheamus gets furious and he comes back in and eats a claymore from Big D. Big D nips back up to his feet. Yeah, I'm in there too. And basically, they just found a clever way to put both those guys into the match because they didn't have enough actual candidates to qualify for this match.
Yep. So Sheamus and the other guy make it to Money in the Bank. So.
Best promo of the night comes up next, though, because Sami Zayn is backstage and he is going to knock on the Tribal Chief's door and he can't pull himself to do it. Kayla interrupts him, scaring him, and he says, listen, I'm everything's okay, we're fine, and then he has to go to the bathroom.
This, to me, reminded me so much of the Braxton and Polly promos that we used to get, and that's all I could think about during this is I wish we got more of those again.
Raquel Gonzalez, but she doesn't get to keep her name. Maybe that's what we do. Maybe he becomes Vince Man and we just change his name. That'll fix all the problems, right?
Maybe.
Okay. Allegedly, you could change his name and that would fix all the problems. Anyways, so basically Raquel is going to have a match to qualify for Money in the Bank. And we see an insert promo from her. And she talked about how close she got to beating Ronda, but that's not going to happen. Commercial, back from commercial. Lacey Evans is ringside. Yay, Lacey Evans! So let's play our favorite game. What was she this week?
Who's the heel?
I think she was a face this week, actually.
I think so. I think she's, now that she was a face, she's like a Big Show level now. She was a face. They brought her out to the ring on SmackDown and told everyone to give her the respect. So that made her a heel. Then she somehow managed to make it to Raw, where they started showing the vignettes again. So she was a face again. And then I think they made her a heel on Raw before they brought her back to SmackDown to make her a face. Do I have that right?
Right, and before she got injured, she was possibly turning face, but she was a heel before that and definitely a heel in NXT. So we've gotten we're at like 8 turns at this point.
Yeah, we're approaching Big Show.
Awesome. All right, Jayna does an insert promo because she's going to be the opponent, and she said that she's not only going to cause physical pain, but she's going to cause emotional pain. So match number 3 of the night, Raquel Rodriguez versus Shayna Baszler. We get a little back and forth. They're both on the apron. Raquel tries the big boot. And when she misses, her foot gets stuck around the middle, I won't say the turnbuckle, but like the little bit that comes from where the corner meets the ring post. And Shayna just distorts her arm, pulls on her leg. This becomes the weak spot for Raquel, but that doesn't really matter because eventually she just heats her Tejana bomb. Can't call it the other thing because apparently that's a naughty word in Spanish. And she wins. And Lacey's so happy because the best competition's in the match.
Yeah. 3 minutes, 15 seconds for this match.
Yeah, nothing to write home with, but nothing unoffensive. And then we cut to we have the highlights, the ring clears, we have a big spotlight, and we're supposed to get the Maximum Male Models. And no, they're not there because Max Dupree's in the back. Max Dupree is in the back with Adam Pearce, and he is upset. Max Dupree says that the music is not good enough. The sound equipment is not good enough. The lighting is not good enough. Everything is not good enough for him to make his entrance. So Max Dupree wants people to be titillated. They want their juices to be flowing. And Max Dupree is talking about titillating and juices on SmackDown. There's definitely a joke in there somewhere, but for legal reasons, I can't make it.
Yeah, it's fair. Moving on.
Matt, recap number 7, Gunther versus Ricochet last weekend. Gunther wins. We get Gunther and Ludwig in the backstage, and they cut a promo. It's all Ludwig. He cuts the promo talking about how the greatest, this reference to the Intercontinental title coming from South America, a French Canadian being the first winner, international talent being the real best people. He talks about being anti-American, how Ricochet was exactly what's wrong with his title and wrong with America. And yeah, apparently they really hate America now.
Sure. Why not?
We then hear Riddle's music and he makes his way in. And right after he gets to the ring, the 5-minute Roman Reigns entrance begins, which leads us to the commercial. Coming back from commercial, we have 3 matches next week already, Greg. You ready?
We do have 3 matches next week. You're right.
Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke, which was one of the greatest NXT matches, just being thrown away as a random Money in the Bank qualifier. We get the grudge match of the century, Shotzi versus Aaliyah, in a Money in the Bank, who might get locked in the locker room.
Sure. Love it.
And Ricochet versus Gunther 2, rematch for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, that's reasons to watch SmackDown next week. I'm not sure I'm showing up.
No, well, okay. Listen, did I find Naomi and put her back in a segment with Sonya Deville?
No, but we're getting close to it.
Yeah, that Aaliyah Shotzi feud is getting into that category. It is. Isn't it?
That's what I mean, right? Like, yeah, next week is going to be rough.
And our main event had nothing to do with Vince McMahon or anything else. It had Riddle versus Roman Reigns for the, well, I'm going to call it the big title. So we start off, Riddle's a house of fire. Quickly, that's quashed. Roman gets a little bit of offense. We get a fisherman suplex. And when Roman goes to the outside to catch a breather, Riddle gives him his big running kick and then a flip to the outside. And that leads to commercial number 1. We have Riddle basically being dominated, and we were told about that. Roman, we go back and forth with these guys a little bit. Roman's using a cravat, and eventually Riddle hits a floating bro for a near fall. When Riddle starts building some offense, he gets hit with a uranage out of nowhere. This leads to another commercial. We get recap number 8, Greg. Your recap number 8 was? It was the return of John Cena, who's not coming to SmackDown, by the way. He's coming to Raw.
No, it's, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so the rest of this match is really good. Go back and watch this match. We get setups for the draping DDT. Roman fights out of 1, but he gets hit with the second one. Riddle tries to hit an RKO, but he gets blocked, and we get a Superman punch for a near fall. Roman setting up for the spear, and this time he gets caught with an RKO out of nowhere, like a classic Randy Orton style. He goes to dive for the spear and gets caught, but that's not enough to take Roman down. Eventually, the RK, eventually they go back and forth. And when Riddle goes to springboard off the middle rope, he eats a spear out of nowhere, and that's it. 1, 2, 3. I mean, Riddle looked like a legit contender in this match. We kind of knew he wasn't going to win, but he at least looked credible.
I actually fully believed at one point this evening that they may take this title off Roman tonight. And you know, hear me out on this. I thought with everything going on in the background that maybe tonight was the night that they just say, let's just go change the title and put, you know, try to change the news cycle into something different, and we can talk about how Riddle is now the champion and, you know, defeating Roman, who's been champion for, I don't know, 1700 days or something stupid at this point. So I thought maybe, just maybe, this may have been the night and Riddle may have been the guy to do it.
Dude, don't worry. They came up with a different smoke screen, but you're right. The AEW needs to take a note though, because they showed replays. They did a little bit of just enough that you got the gravity of this match, even to the point where Roman got a microphone and he said he wanted Minnesota to acknowledge him because he's smashed everybody and there's no one left to smash. And before you could say, wonder who's next, in my head I was like, Randy Orton needs surgery, doesn't he? Isn't he really hurt? And then we hear the guitar riff and out comes Brock Lesnar. Cowboy Brock is back, hat and all. And he comes down to the ring. He's got his big smile on. He takes his head off and he goes to offer Roman a handshake. Everyone's like, I'm like, there's no way he's doing this. He shakes his hand and gets pulled in for an F5. And then he takes out the Usos as a kick in the ass. Like, it was beautiful. I love how Roman sent the Usos away originally because, you know, he can handle this. And then the Usos, not even the three of them together, could handle good old Brock.
Yeah, that's what we've got next. And WWE announced after they went off the air that they've confirmed Roman and Brock at SummerSlam for the titles. So I think we will, we're going to see that match. I believe I was kind of scrolling through Twitter while we were kind of talking here. And I actually have a list of how many times Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar have fought for the title in the last couple of years. So they have fought each other. So WrestleMania 2015, Fastlane 2016, SummerSlam 2017, WrestleMania 2018, Greatest Royal Rumble, SummerSlam 2018, Crown Jewel 2021, WrestleMania 38, and SummerSlam 2022. And then, of course, there was also the match that was supposed to happen at Day One back in January, but Roman got COVID.
And then this past WrestleMania?
That was there, 38.
Okay, so we're 10, 11... If Roman doesn't get COVID, I'm glad we didn't have that one because I would have to take off my socks because once you get past 10, I have a hard time counting.
Very, very good. Yep. So we've got 10 matches since the last couple of years of Roman and Brock. But yeah, it has now been set for SummerSlam, Saturday, July 30th, 8 p.m. Eastern on Peacock in the U.S. and WWE Network everywhere else.
Roman might have another match between here and there, or he might lose it. Who knows?
Well, Roman's not going to be at Money in the Bank, and that's not surprising, especially after tonight. So we won't see him there. I don't know if we see him besides promos between now and then. I think we're just going to have to sit back and wait.
Well, that's it, other than a Hulu to go home to. So let's go back.
Did I give a time on that? That one was 16 minutes, 56 seconds. That match was.
All right, I'm scrolling to the top of my notes. Let's do this. So, Vince, Hulu review, for those of you who are new to us and just found us tonight, thank you. We appreciate you spending this much time with us. A Hulu review is just basically, if you didn't watch SmackDown tonight, which I think a lot more people watch SmackDown. The question is, if you watch anything but Vince, we'll tell you if you just watch the first 5 minutes, you're like, it's sitting on my DVR, I don't know what to do with it. We'll tell you what you need to watch and just try, because there's so much wrestling out there. We're trying to optimize your time. So can I
make a suggestion?
Sure.
We've got a special guest here tonight. We've got Jake Allenar here from the Windy City. I think we let Jake do the Hulu review tonight.
Oh yeah, Jake. I love this idea. This makes I can sit here and sip on my drink. Jake, so I'm going to queue up segments and you say keep or cut. Or if you're new to this game, we also have what's called the Superstar Special, which is from our childhood. We used to love WWE superstars. And sometimes you would just see a wrestler come out, do their entrance, and then finish the match. So do with this as you wish, Jake. We are turning the keys of the kingdom over to you, my friend.
Okay, it'll be my pleasure then. See if this goes any good.
All right, so Vince comes out, start the show. Keep or cut?
Cut.
Okay. We have the announcers queue up the show, and Matt Riddle comes out. What do you want to keep of that? Or not?
I would keep a majority of that, so I saw it. Like.
Okay, so after the Matt Riddle promo, we have... Are you keeping any of the recaps?
I would.
Which recaps do you want to keep? Do you want to keep the first one where we see the highlights of Matt Riddle and the Bloodline?
Well, with the Bloodline, I think that's like the most important story that I've seen since.
How about the saga of Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss?
I have no use for anything Happy Corbin anyway, so I'll just cut that.
All right. How about the match itself? Do you want to keep Madcap Moss, or you can superstar it if you'd like to just see the beginning and the end?
I would just superstar. I want to see more of the beginning and the end, though, so probably just want to more on that. So,
all right. Yeah. How about the Street Profits? What do you think? Keep, cut, superstar their promo.
Their promo was when you find, I'll just keep them. So,
all right, and stuff with Happy Corbin and Pat McAfee ringside.
Kind of conflicted on that.
All right, do you want to phone a friend and get Greg's opinion to break your tie?
Yeah, what do you think, Greg?
The Pat McAfee segments?
Yeah.
I think you leave it because I think it's going to set up SummerSlam.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. All right. Hulk Hogan and Edge beating Billy and Chuck, which was recap number 3. Do you want to keep it or cut it?
Cut.
Okay. And how about Ronda Rousey and Natalya and Shaughnessy from last week? All of that foolishness.
Cut.
I kind of figured that. Oh, Natalia's promo. Keep or cut.
Ooh. Do I have to say any more?
Okay, yeah, so that's cut. All right. What about New Day versus Jinder and Slim Shanky? What do you want to do with this?
That was definitely a match. Shanky slap sounded pretty good. That's about it. Maybe like a small minority, I would keep that. So, but keep it much shorter.
Yeah, we can superstar the heck out of that. Superstar, we just can show a little bit of the entrance, the chop, and then the Trouble in Paradise, and then we're out. It's like, okay,
good. Yeah, just get out of there immediately. So, yeah.
Chop. I would say the chop, the lariat or whatever he did, the second kind of chop, and then just replay that a couple of times like they did live. They cut to the Trouble in Paradise. You're fine.
All right. What about the Viking Raiders promo?
Cut. Yeah.
Okay. What about all of the foolishness with Drew McIntyre? And I'm sorry, I am leading the witness. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus and all of this. Hey, Big D and Sheamus.
Big D.
Yeah, Big D.
Oh, this is too much. Yeah, I just wasn't a fan of how it was executed, though, so I would probably cut that. So
cut it all out. They can just show. So Jake, here's your solution. So what happens is you can just cut the whole thing and just a graphic shows up for 10 seconds saying
just 10 seconds,
and then, and Michael Cole comes out and goes, WWE officials have said that Big D and Sheamus are now Money in the Bank. There, done. That was the whole
thing. You segment. Don't need like a whole drawn out segment regarding that. So
even better, just post it on social media tomorrow, which is what they've done in the past, right? So you don't even have to worry about doing it on the show. Just throw it on social media tomorrow.
Just make it the most subtle as possible.
Sami Zayn and Kayla are in the back next. What do you want to do with that?
I'll keep that.
Okay, Raquel Rodriguez and the whole bit with her match, she came out and squashed poor Shayna Baszler.
It was dull, so keep just cut all that out. So
yeah, we just again so graphic on social media. Greg's graphic, yeah. Oh look, Raquel somehow made it in the match. Not sure how. It's actually better because then we don't have to watch Shayna get beat up for no good reason. All right,
probably wasn't worth a dark match. It wasn't even worth a dark match. Are you kidding me?
What about Max Dupree? What do you and his bit?
Oh,
ooh, this is a tough one, isn't it?
This is a tough one. I don't know. There's always a plan. He seems pretty good at it. Kind of conflicted on this. You know what? After the past few weeks, I'll say keep it. So.
All right, Gunther and Ludwig's promo in the back.
I will cut that out. So,
and we are now to the end. So, Roman Reigns' entrance. How much of it do you want to keep?
I'm a stickler for Roman, to be honest with you. I hate to say it, but so I would keep that opening. So,
keeping all 18 minutes of that Washington.
Hey. He's amazing. I don't like the
Reigns,
hate,
so. Roman Reigns' entrance is perfect because you got a chance to like make a snack, you know, get a drink, use the washroom, walk the dog, come back,
right? And still not just get great, a quick, right? Just get a quick Great Lakes beer. In my fill end,
out,
yeah.
Fill out your taxes. You know all those things.
There's another podcast, yeah.
Yeah, or apply for a passport. You know, whatever you need to do. Okay, this main event. Like, do we keep it in its entirety? Do you want to cut it down, or was this a waste of time?
So this was 60 minutes, right? So it took up like kind of like the last quarter.
Yeah, 17 minutes, 16:56, and I think it was spanned two commercial breaks.
It was fine. Probably just cut out like probably like 5 minutes of that, but it really showed like a fine performance. Running that, that's what I would say. So
I would co-sign it and say that you could basically, if you cut out between commercial one and the second commercial, that gap, and just saw the beginning, and then came back after the second commercial and just showed the tail end. That's most of the match, and it's the best part of the match.
That's what I thought. It was two commercials, right?
Yeah.
I find it hard with these commercial matches. Like, you know, I understand when you're on live TV and you've got to pay the bills and all that stuff. But I think that we've gotten to a point now where we know where the commercials are coming. And, you know, let's go and let's be a little bit more proactive with this. And, you know, let's do the commercial as they're doing their entrance or something like that. And, you know, give them as much time as they can in the match. And I mean, you know, AEW, as much as you know, like or dislike them, they use picture in picture a fair amount, which WWE does not do any of that anymore. At least on any of the feeds that I've been watching on. So
yeah, Raw hardly does that anymore. So you're right on that aspect.
Yeah, so it's hard to really get invested in like a great match like this when you've got two breaks in the middle of it.
Guys, just do what kind of deal and front load your commercials a little bit, and then say that we're going to finish this main event with limited commercial interruptions. This match with one commercial would make it be a totally different experience.
Absolutely. Instead of like, you know, the repetitiveness of when they go to the sidelines outside the ring, that's when you know like it's going to be a commercial break. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh, I can get up and start stretching. My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "They just went to the outside. That's commercial." Yeah. So, all right, and then the extracurriculars after the match with Roman and the Bloodline posing and return of Cowboy Brock. Like, keep cut, superstar.
As much as I love Brock, his recent face turn over the past year, I don't know why the need of him and Roman again. So I mean, I understand they're missing some big names, and
I'll give you option number four. You can put this as a clip that comes out on social media tomorrow.
Definitely put on their Talking Smack. I would definitely put that there on their YouTube channel.
Well, I you know, Jake, going to your point, like, you know, who's next? I think you're right. I think they're up that infamous creek because they have the castle show set, you know, in Cardiff.
In Wales, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they've got their main event planned for that already. I guess champion versus the local boy. So I mean, they've got to hold that off. But there's really not a big, you know, depth of people right now that they can go and use to either feed to Roman. So I think that SummerSlam, we may see him drop at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll split it off, split the belts off at this time, or wait till Cardiff?
I think that there's a possibility. I definitely could see that being a possibility. I could certainly see them splitting the belts off at SummerSlam. I could see it happening. I definitely think it's going to happen by Cardiff if it hasn't happened already. And I think you've got, you know, the redemptions. I don't think, frankly, that next year's WrestleMania with, you know, if plans are to be Roman versus, you know, The Rock, it doesn't need stakes like belts or anything attached to it. So I think this is the time to look to get them off of Roman now. I mean, Roman's going to stay heel. Rock is obviously going to be a face in that sort of thing. I mean, God, he bought Tamina a house this week, for the love of all things holy, right? Like,
yeah, I agree. I originally wanted Cody to win one of those belts from Roman. That could probably still be a possibility before Mania next year if he does.
I thought you were going to tell me that The Rock, what you really wanted was The Rock to buy you a house too. I
mean, oh man, whoa.
Listen, he can buy, if he's giving out houses, my hand will go up. I'll take a house. But listen, fellas, I think I have it. So we'll fantasy book and we'll call it a night. So here's the fantasy. Drew wins the unified title. We don't need to split it. Drew wins Big D will be the big champ.
Oh, okay. Big D will be the big champ.
And then what will happen is Seth will win Money in the Bank and cash in at an opportune time against our boy Big D, which would lead to Seth having the title going into WrestleMania. So you can have, I have no idea what you do with poor Big D, but you'd end up having, you could have Rock and Roman over on one side. Big D can maybe wrestle Brock next year because, hey, why not? That worked once before. And then your main event is Cody going after Seth because Seth hurt him. And that would, and there's your crowning moment, Cody and Seth at WrestleMania.
Everything ties together. So
that makes it all kinds of, you can have some fun with this stuff. So, but yeah, I'd love to hear for you, those of you who are joining us, especially thank you for joining us on the free feed. Shout out to Jake and to Joe for joining us for the show today. And yeah, you can follow us on our socials. Jake, why don't you plug your stuff?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. It's a huge pleasure. It's my debut here. And when I found out that you guys are going to be live tonight, I decided to ask and try it out. And yeah, I had a ton of fun tonight. So thanks for having me. You can follow me at Jake Allnor on Twitter, as well as on Instagram. My opinions are kind of flamboyant at times regarding wrestling or politics or entertainment as well. So yeah. And yeah, and also you can find me on some of my, on SoundCloud, if you listen to me from some of my radio show stuff and, talking about entertainment, pop culture, and all that. So yeah, just feel free. And guys, it's again, I mean, can't appreciate it enough. So thanks for having me.
Hey, don't be afraid. And what I love in the background, besides the happy birthday behind him, so I'm assuming that there someone had a birthday soon or relatively recently. But I love that on brand, Jake has his Money in the Bank briefcase over his shoulder, ready to cash that in anytime on an SNME podcast.
Anytime,
with the briefcase, and he's good to go, right?
Podcast in the Bank.
Yeah, Podcast in the Bank. Love it.
But this is still my favorite because this is, to me, this is the greatest belt of all time. So.
Oh, no, you have to say what belt's over your shoulder because remember, this is audio, not video. So
audio, yeah. Feel bad. So this is the famous 10 pounds of gold that I have behind me from championsbelt.com, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. That was first won by Harley Race back in 73. This is not the actual thing, but this is just one of the replicas. So.
So I see I wasn't a big NWA. I see a Mexican flag on one of the sides of it. I see the U.S. flag kind of dead center in the belt. What's on the other wing?
Australia.
Is it Australia? Gotcha. Okay, hard to see over video.
Yeah, that's fun. So.
It's one of the coolest belts of all time. So thanks, guys. Thanks, Jake, for joining us. Greg, as always, Greg, you want to plug your stuff? You are?
Yeah, you can contact us, Greg at smackdaddies.com. You can get a hold of Brad at brad@smackdaddies.com. You can find me on Facebook as Greg Feltham on the board. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at wrongbagels. I'm usually here on Friday nights if there's, nothing that is making me say, dear God, I'm not watching this crap. Otherwise, you usually find me here.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week, God willing. And yeah, we're grateful to have everybody here. And yeah, thank you for trying it out if you're listening on the free feed. And if you are, you know that we have Mike going to be back on Sunday. And boy, oh boy, I have no idea how he's going to keep it to, like, this is a perfect week to be a patron because I bet you his conversation alone with Uncle Dave could go on for an hour.
Easy. I'm scared to see him try to edit that showdown this week because between, alleged news with Sasha, with everything that's gone on with the Vince story, I mean, the conversation with Uncle Dave this week is going to be certainly worth it. And of course, as a patron, you get early access to the show. So patreon.com/SNMEradio, it's $5 a month. And it's certainly well worth your time. And you get to hear, all kinds of great content.
Right. Including a Rampage review, a Raw review, an NXT review. You get a BAM, which is like a coverage of all the other side things, plus some sports talk. You also get an AEW review and then your Smack Daddies. So there's lots of great stuff there. It's a very reasonable price. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. We'd love to have you join us. I think you are going to Forbidden Door, right?
I'm going there next week.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully when we do the post show next week, which, by the way, in order to join the Zoom room and have conversations. And yeah, we're open to Jake. We're open to having you back. We're also open to other patrons joining us because this is fun. This has made this a little bit more live and interactive. And Greg and I weren't falling asleep like normal.
Yeah. And Boris and I will do a Rampage review next week. So.
Oh, cool. Well, nice. We're looking forward to that. And for those of you, check us out, patreon.com. And you know what? Even if you don't check us out, you just happen to be one of the people listening on the free feed. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for putting up with us. And hopefully you enjoyed your free, almost 2-hour podcast.
Yeah. And don't forget, if you are not a patron, as Brad said, with the Forbidden Door show, we will have like a after party for it where you can join in and you can participate. But if you are not a patron and you can still view the show live on YouTube, so you can search Sunday Night's Main Event on YouTube and subscribe there and be notified of when that is going live. So please make sure you do that if you are not a patron, so you can still partake and enjoy that.
All right. With that being said, good night, guys. We the ones.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday Night's Main Event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Don't you dare miss it.